last summer, actually late spring, I planted some red raspberries. I've been wanting like a little red raspberry patch. I love red raspberries. And I thought, wow, this would be great. And I had thought where I could put those, and I asked a few questions. And so I got a little two-stroke rototiller out there, and I just, you know, and I just, I got that dirt all prepared and all powdered up and ready to go. And I planted three red raspberry plants, and man, they took off. I was really excited about having these red raspberries, and they started producing pretty quickly. I mean, this was just last summer, and I got probably by the end of the summer, I had a bowl, equivalent of a bowl full of red raspberries. And I thought, man, that's pretty good. So I thought, man, they can't wait till next year, man. We're going to have red raspberries coming out our ears, which was okay with me because, again, I love them. I had a whole bunch more plants, but have not gotten a whole lot of red raspberries. I think I've counted six. And I'm like, what's going on? And I get the little blossoms, and then they kind of wither, and I don't know. So if you know anything about red raspberries, please get with me. I'd like to find out what I'm doing wrong, because evidently I'm doing wrong. But my point is that I'm trying to assess the situation. I'm trying to make some determinations about what I need to do in order to get these plants to produce the fruit that I dearly love. We're going through our study on discipleship, and this is an opportunity this week and in the weeks to come to make some assessments. We've been going through some doctrinal issues, things that are important for us to know about discipleship and how to grow in discipleship so that we can pass that on to others. And so in this week, I'm just going to be looking at some a passage, and then in the weeks to come, some passages to help you make some assessments about your walk with God, your discipleship, to encourage you to grow in this. So we're going to make some assessments, much like you would do when you're looking at raspberry plants. How do I help them nurture and grow and to produce fruit? And we talked, Pastor Nate, he read a passage about abiding in Christ, that we would bear fruit. That's what we need. That's what you need as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to study Matthew chapter 13. It's a chapter of parables. Question is, what is a parable? Well, a parable is a true-to-life story for the purpose of teaching a specific principle or truth. And so here's some things you need to remember in studying a parable. Though there can be multiple lessons taught, there's generally one primary lesson that's emphasized in a parable. And so the parable is a true-to-life story that is used to convey this principle or a particular point. In other words, when we're going through this one, this is a parable of the sower. He's not talking about a particular farmer necessarily, but he's using agricultural principles in order to teach a principle. And so it's a true to life story. It's not a particular thing that actually happen, but it does happen. For example, if you were saying there were a bunch of kids playing in the playground, and one of them fell and got hurt, and you ran over and you tried to help that child and comfort that child, that would be like a parable, because it's not necessarily a true to life thing, but we can all relate to that kind of thing. You've been at the playground and a child falls, and you run over and you try to comfort the child. It's conveying telling a story to convey a point. So that being said, don't make every little aspect of the parable convey a significant meaning, because sometimes the details are there to just convey the story or the point. So let's study just a little background on parables. So let's study the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 1 to 23. That same day, a particular day of ministry, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And you could just see the people were pressing in upon him. He kind of says, well, let me climb into this boat and just go out just a little bit so that people aren't pressing in upon me. And he sat down to teach. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and birds came along and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So, is Jesus beginning to teach agricultural principles? Well, verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them? He's talking about the fickle crowd of Pharisees and teachers of the law. Why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11. And he answered them, to you, my disciples, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, had already rejected Jesus. You can go back and read about that in chapter 12, where they were attributing the works of Jesus to Satan. They had already rejected Jesus and his ministry. Verse 12. For to the one who has, you my disciples, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, those who have rejected Jesus, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and their ears can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. The point is that those who had rejected Jesus would see Jesus with their very eyes. They would even hear what he had to say, and yet still reject him. So Jesus would not continue to minister in their unbelief. It would be like what he says, you don't cast pearls before swine. And so he has truth veiled in these parables. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now Jesus is going to, in the next verses, explain the parable of the sower. Verse 18, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what has been sown along the path. As for what is sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. he indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. After listening to this, I want to encourage you with a thought to help you assess or evaluate your relationship with the Lord. And so this is your take-home thought this morning, and that is your heart is exposed by how you receive God's word. Your heart is exposed by how you receive the word of God. And that, of course, determines your fruitfulness. This is so very important. In one sense, it's your eternal destiny depends upon your reception of the word. So I want to look at, first of all, the fruitless soil, or the fruitless hearts. He says there in verse 18, I'm just going to focus on Jesus' explanation of the parable. Hear the parable of the sower. By the way, this is what sowers face. I'm going to come back to this in just a little bit. It's interesting. I wanted to call this the parable of soils. We're going to talk about soils. Jesus talks about soil and the kinds of soil that receive the word. But he calls it the parable of the sower. And I think there's some implication to this. So keep that in mind as when we bring this to a close. Anyone, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. So fruitless hearts. The first fruitless heart here is the hard-packed or indifferent heart. You've seen this kind of soil. When I was a kid, we would go out and we'd have to weed the garden. I've told you about that before. The rows were, you know, longer than this room, and it just took forever. Not really, but it seemed like that. But rain or shine, we had to get out there. If it had just rained, and the thing is, you know, if you cultivate dirt when it's wet, man, when it dries, it gets really hard. And he's talking about hard-packed soil. When they were building Hobart Preserve over here, and they put those paths in, they put this real fine gravelly stuff down. And I remember when they put the outer, I call it the outer rim, but the outer path on, and when they first put that in, it was really loose, but I'll tell you what, now it's some places are like concrete. It's hard packed. Kind of like Eldora Speedway. It's a dirt track, but you know, those cars, you know, there's nothing that's going to grow on Eldora Speedway. Just a lot of traffic racing around that track. It's hard packed. If you try to grow anything on that hard packed soil, it's not going to last long. The seed will just be snatched up by the birds. It's not going to grow. Sadly, especially when I was involved in youth ministry, I observed this. There were a few of the teenagers that would come in and they'd sit down, and as soon as I'd start teaching, they'd go. I confronted one of the young men and said, hey, you know, we need to deal with this. And so I talked to mom, and the mom said, I'll tell you what, he says you're boring. And so I'm going to come in and I'm going to sit on your class. I said, that's fine. Come on in. Have a seat. And she came in and went, no, not really. Not really. I just couldn't resist. But she came in and she says, now I'm not staying here just 1 or 2 weeks. I'm going to stay here for the entire quarter because I want to see whether what he says is true or not. And she said, she reprimanded her son. She said, listen, you pay attention to Pastor Dale. He's not boring. And so I was encouraged by that. But the point is that I observed that, and it broke my heart, because my desire was at that time and still is to minister the Word of God in such a way that it would have meaning and understanding. And I'm not going to try to pretend that I'm the answer to all Bible teaching or the Bible teaching guru. But it is the Word of God. And I'm committed to teach and preach the Word of God. And so as you come and you listen to it, receive it as that, not the Word of Dale Christian, but as the Word of God. Don't harden your heart, whether you're here today or whether you're watching or listening online. All right? This is the Word of God. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in your heart, to cultivate a soft heart so that you're not different to what God has for you, and take interest in what God has. And what I would encourage you, that if you are a believer here this morning and you are listening and you're like, yes, this is the Word of God, you're excited about it, that you pray for others. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Pray that you would be ready to receive the Word, and that others around you would be ready to receive the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to break through the hardened heart. Verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the Word, immediately he falls away. I call this the stony or emotional heart. Oftentimes, and I shared rock climbing a week or so ago, and I see this when I would go rock climbing, that, you know, rock, there's very little stuff that grows. But what grows, it's amazing. It would grow out of a crack or a crevice. But when we would go down to Clifton Gorge and do rock climbing, we did what was called top roping. So we would walk along the top of the cliffs, and we would tie onto a tree and hang the rope over with the carabiner and all for top roping. And it would scare me to death, because sometimes, once in a while, I would take someone who is new to rock climbing, and they would go, oh, wow, this is so cool. And they'd walk right up to the edge. And I'm like, oh, be careful. Because that soil on top oftentimes wouldn't hold anything but moss. And I don't know if you've ever walked on moss, but it's like, you know, you're kind of doing this. It moves around. And if they came up and they, you know, stopped, and the moss wouldn't stop them. It's shallow. You could just take a tumble. So you've seen that. And that's what we have in this stony emotional soil. This individual tends to be touched. Maybe as you come to church, it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm all in. I'm all for that. And they're the first one to walk down the aisle. And then the difficulties in life come along. And there are difficulties in life. And that person tends to, like, God, where are you? Or forget God and walk away from God, because their roots are not deep. And the difficulties, the heat of life withers them. It's been said that what withers the root strengthens the rooted. Again, if this would describe you, I encourage you to ask God for help. Maybe you're on the edge of that way of thinking. I've surrendered to God, and I wanted God to do so much for me, but it just doesn't seem like he's doing anything. He doesn't seem to hear me. and you're just ready to kind of throw it away. Don't be like the rocky the rocky soil here. I want to encourage you that the Christian life is more a marathon than a sprint. One of our men, Tim McDaniel, chairman of our deacons, he's a marathoner. He runs. I think he runs all the time. Listen to this. He has run 33 marathons. It blew me away. On his 50th birthday, he ran 50 miles. My birthday's tomorrow. I'm going to smoke a pork butt and sit on mine. So, I mean, really. He ran 50 miles on his 50th birthday. I'm a little older than 50 now. But, you know, and talking to Tim and other marathoners, you know, it's not a sprint. I've run a couple 5Ks, all right? And it always interests me because they go, on your mark, it's that, and everybody start running, and it's like that first half a mile, you know, there people are just tearing it, you know, like, I'm going to set a world record, you know, and then after a little while, they just start falling by the wayside. Tim, you probably see that in marathons, you know, people. And Tim, I've talked to Tim enough, and I've watched marathons enough and other marathoners, and they have to pace themselves. And in talking with Tim even this morning, I asked if I could talk about him a little bit this morning. He says, yeah. And even then, when you pace yourself, there are times when you're like, oh, you know, you're just walking with cramps, you know. You're gonna have those challenges, but he keeps on going through the difficulties, through the challenges of the marathon. That's the way it is in the Christian life. Don't let the heat of the moment or the challenges of life get you down. As Pastor Doug used to say, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. And Pastor Doug was a tremendous encouragement to that end. When I was at Cedarville, one of, if not my favorite preacher, Warren Wiersbe, was preaching to, I was a junior at the time, but he was preaching to senior chapel, and he was talking to the seniors, but all of us. And he said, you know, you look at the Christian life, and right now you're at college, and you think, how in the world can I ever continue to keep on living the Christian life for the next 20, 30, 40, or 50 years? How can I keep this up? And he looked at us and he said, you do it a day at a time. You do it a day at a time. That has stuck with me. Because you think of, okay, so I'm going to have my daily devotions, my quiet time, every day for the next 50 years. Really? Yeah. How do you do that? You do it today. And you read and you study God's word and you live faithfully for him. Today, just commit to doing it today. And then what do? You get up tomorrow and you commit to doing that tomorrow. And Matthew 6:33 says, and 34, do just that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. Don't worry about tomorrow. Every day has enough trouble of its own. So concern yourself for today. Get through today. And then you get up tomorrow. And the next day, you do the same thing each day. And then lo and behold, guess what? You have a whole weekend. And then you keep going day by day. And then you have a month. And then those months pile up. And the days and the weeks and the months pile up into years. And then you look back and you go, God, all my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. It's not a sprint, my friend. It's a marathon. So don't allow the challenges, the heat of life to get you down, but remain faithful as you receive his word. Verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This is the thorny or double-minded soil. In this situation, the soil is abundant, but isn't it crazy that weeds tend to grow in more abundance and faster than the grass or that which you want to grow? And he's talking about having one foot in the world and one foot or a part of you wanting to live for God. How many of you watched the Olympic balance beam competition? A few. I thought more would, like, oh yeah, we did. But anyway, balance beam, it's this wide. And those ladies get on that, and they not just walk across it, but they do flips, back flips, twists, and things you just can't imagine that they can do on a 4-inch wide balance beam. My concern here, and I think according to this passage, is that there are a lot of people who profess Christ. That's where they want to live. But you know what? When you're on the balance beam, it is very uncertain and unstable. And some people, they want to live one leg in the world and one leg in Jesus Christ. And you know what? That hurts. When they slip off that balance beam and they got one leg on one side, one leg on the other, that hurts. Right? And it's not good for you. And I just encourage you that as we look at this passage, Jesus is saying that's the nature of the thorny soil. And he says that the cares of the world reach in and choke out what you really would like to grow. And that's in your relationship with God. Again, as we make a spiritual assessment, we want to look at our hearts and ask ourselves, do any of these unfruitful soils describe my heart? And if any of these unfruitful soils describe your heart, and what we are pointing out, what Jesus is pointing out here, is the receptivity to the Word of God, what He has to say to you. Go back to when we first started about talking about these doctrinal issues back in April, talking about the importance of and significance of the Word of God. It starts there, my friend. And if you dismiss what God has to say for you, you're going to be in trouble now and in eternity. So he goes on to say then, talking about a fruitful heart. And by the way, I appreciate what the passage that Pastor Nate read in John chapter 15. In fact, in John chapter 15, verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Not fruitful. What use are we if we're not fruitful, bearing fruit to God? I'm going to talk about the fruitful heart. What's that mean? Verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. The fruitful heart is receptive and fertile. You have here, you have the seed of God's word falling on fertile soil. Fertile soil so that it's going to grow. This is the soil of the individual who is productive in their walk with God, that has a vibrant relationship with God. Some qualities of a fertile soil. Fertile soil is prepared. That's what I tried to do with that little two-cycle rototiller. You know, and I'm just trying to prepare the soil so that it would receive the word, not the word, but the plants that I was going to put in it. And that's. But we prepare our hearts. I encourage you to prepare your heart when you go to read and study, memorize, meditate upon, seek to apply God's word to your life. Is prepare your heart. And if you're saying, I go to the Bible, I start reading it, I don't get anything out of it. My friend, ask God. Prepare your heart. Say, God, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things out of your law. Pray and ask God to help you comprehend what he has for you. And even if it's just one thing for that day, God, thank you and help me to put your word then into practice, to do what it says. It's talking about a prepared heart. If or when you come on your way to church on Saturdays, whatever, pray that as you hear the word of God on Sunday morning, that your heart will be prepared to receive God's word, to understand what's being communicated, so as to then apply it to your life. Have a prepared heart. Psalm 119 says, the psalmist says, verse 16, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Make a commitment to read, to listen to study God's word regularly and faithfully. You say, man, I don't have time to study the Bible. Well, make it a practice to read or listen to God's word every day. And say, okay, I'm not in the habit of doing that. Well, start with, set a goal of 3 times this week. Say, I'm going to read or study the word. I had a busy day, one particular day this week, and I was looking like, man, how in the world? I got it, and I said, man, I haven't had any time in the word yet. And then I've got all of these appointments, and the day will just get away from me. And I thought, wait a minute, I have 15 minutes before my next appointment. And we tend to look at our days in hours and half hours. I had a friend tell me, quit looking at your days. This was years ago. Don't look at your day as hour and half hours. Look at your days as minutes and seconds. And I thought, I have 15 minutes that I can spend with God. And I spent, it was only 15 minutes. I like to spend more time than that. But if you only have 15 minutes, you have plenty of time to say a prayer and read something out of God's word. Listen to what God has to say. I had to do that this week. Set aside some time every day to at least read the word of God. And then maybe one day out of the week, say, there's some things I don't understand. And just start studying the word. Pastor Nate, I know this is after the fact, but Pastor Nate just did a series on how to study the word of God this last summer. And if you want some information on how to do that, talk to him and or talk to us. We'd be glad to help you in that. But maybe just one day a week, that's all you have to study. Other days, read or listen to it. But be prepared. The point here is, the psalmist says, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I delight in your commands because I love them. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. So prepare your heart and have an attitude like that toward the word of God. And then be receptive. Seek to understand what God has to say in his word. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Please, don't just read through a proverb a day or your daily bread and say, okay, I did my devotions. Seek to understand what God has to say to you through His Word. And then be teachable. What I mean by that is be willing to change. Be willing. I don't know about you, but I haven't arrived yet. And we all have to grow. He's working on our hearts, in our thoughts, our attitudes, as well as our actions. And so be teachable as you go to the Word. And be ready to confess and to take steps toward change. And then finally, be productive. To bear fruit. Verse 23 again. For as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on what's the 100-fold, what's the 60, what's the 30. I think the point is you bear fruit as God has enabled you to bear fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. You say, what is the fruit? Fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Choose one of those. Say, I need to grow in my love for God and my love for others. I need to grow in patience. God, help me to grow in my patience with others. Whatever, and begin to bear fruit in that way. Or the fruit of righteousness, according to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11. But a fruitful heart is the heart of a learner. My encouragement to you is to be a learner. Be willing to change and grow in light of the Word of God. And then pass that sentiment on to others. I so appreciate when I was a junior counselor at Camp Echoing Hills as a freshman in high school. Summer after my freshman year of high school, young man by the name of Dave Lewis. I don't know where Dave is. But he was 4 or 5 years older than I, but I was so impressed by that man because he spent a daily time in the Word of God. I knew I should, I wasn't, but he set the example for me, and I started spending time in the Word of God, and God used that to work in my heart, to change my heart. He passed that on to me. And it's my prayer and desire that I would pass that on to others. That's a matter of discipleship. And then as we learn and grow, that we put God's word into practice. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he who hears these words of mine and does them is like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. James 1 and verse 22, don't be a hearer of the word only. Do what it says. Now, you need to be a hearer of the word. So appreciate David Dean's lesson this morning. We need to know what God's word says. That's a part of it. And we need to be able to give a defense of the word of God as to what we believe and why we believe it. And then why do we live the way that we live? Because we put it into practice. Because we believe it. Jesus is appealing to your heart and mine to be ready and willing to receive his word. And I just encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work on the soil of your heart to receive his word faithfully. And put it into practice so that you can be fruitful. Now, I said I was going to come back to the sower. He calls it the parable of the sower. And he has told you and me to go into all the world and make disciples. Okay? We're talking about meaningful discipleship. The task before us is to go and make disciples. And in doing that, what do? Sow the seed. the common practice, my understanding of sowing in that day was broadcast. You just reach into your sack and you just broadcast. And when you do that, some seed's going to fall on hard-packed soil. Some's going to fall on stony soil. Some's going to fall on in thorny soil. But some's going to fall on fertile soil. But he just tells us to go and sow the seed. And as we do that, there might be some times where we get discouraged because they just aren't listening. They just aren't paying attention. They're just not getting it. Continue to sow the seed, because sooner or later, that seed's going to fall on a fertile soil to where you can nurture and encourage, because that person is willing to put listen to God's word, understand it, put it into practice, and grow in fruitfulness. And there you have the cycle of discipleship. But the assessment is to examine our hearts here today. We're coming to our time of communion together here. It's a good time to assess. Say, God, I pray that I will have a fertile soil in my heart, and that I would be faithful to hear your word, to live out your word. And so as we close here in prayer and prepare our hearts for our communion service, may that be the prayer of your heart to receive what God has for you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And I pray that this room would be full of receptive hearts to receive your word and allow that implanted word to grow in our hearts and be fruitful. That these truths here today would make a difference in our hearts and our lives, in this congregation, in this church. That others would look at our testimonies and praise our Father in heaven. It's not about us. It's all about you. And so as we come before you in communion, help us to recognize just that, that this is all about you and what you've provided through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is no way that we could possibly do or even be receptive to what you have for us in your word, but it's through what was accomplished through Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by your mercy that you've saved us. I just